Sports Bowl Podcast.
Thanks for tuning back in, man. It's your boy B. I'm here with Jay Reed, man. We about to cover some NBA topics. We got some very, very interesting things to cover. We got Fultz, Magic, bringing them back this year. We're going to cover some Rockets and Russ, salary caps. We got some things to talk about. Joel, man, what you got? How you want to start it off?
I mean, we definitely got to start it off with former Philadelphia Sixer player Markelle Fultz. I mean, the Magic choose to exercise a $12.3 million team option on this man. I mean, the last time we saw this man, he could barely shoot a free throw. But I'm all for people turning their careers around and getting their acts together. And I'm pulling for this young brother to actually turn it around and become, you know, at least a decent starter in this league. I think at this point, superstar and all-star level is a bit of a stretch, but you know, I hope he proves me wrong. They exercised the $12.3 million fourth year team option on the point guard. Now he was acquired from the Sixers during last year's trade deadline, but didn't appear in any games with the Magic due to a shoulder injury. He actually had a pretty embarrassing moment at the free throw line where he, you know, could barely form a free throw. I mean, it looked pretty bad. Now, his averages, 8.2 points, 3.1 assists across 19 appearances for the Sixers last season. I mean, this man was a number one overall pick, and I hate to kick his back in because he's such a young player, man, but, you know, the facts are the facts. For him to be a number one overall pick, taken with such high expectations, it's not looking too good. I mean, I'm highly disappointed at the way things ended with him in the Sixers uniform. But the Magic seem to know something that we don't know as fans and to the public, man, giving them this kind of money. They do have some other young pieces down there that they're building with. I mean, Mo Bamba, Jonathan Isaac, and you know, Aaron Gordon. They have some young talent, and they made the playoffs last year. But this move with Fultz is a bit of a head scratcher, man. It's a lot of money for a player with a background that's a little shaky.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, man. I definitely think he's just one of those young players where he still kind of respects his adults. I think this the NBA kind of came to him very fast. I think when he came into the league and he went to the Sixers organization, he was really excited, man. I think he felt comfortable there, and he took like heavy influence on what everybody was telling him on, most importantly, how to work on his shot. And I think he started believing that something was wrong with his shot, and it kind of showed in his performance. And overall, just kind of the crowd influence, like the fans. I mean, Philly's a tough, tough, tough city to play for. And if things don't go right when you're playing in that city, I think that, I mean, it's second to none that they're going to just tear you apart. So
Yeah, it's Philly. Philly's definitely a tough city. I mean, we expect a lot of our athletes, and we a number one draft pick. I mean, this is not a player that they acquired in a trade. This is not a player that they, you know, sought in free agency.
High expectations.
High expectations for the number one overall pick just a few years removed. I mean, you know, the 76ers are now left with a couple superstar talents that we were, you know, left to trust the process with. But Fultz was supposed to be a part of this process. The Magic have now, you know, deemed this man a part of their process. The same way the Houston Rockets have deemed Russell Westbrook a part of their process, actually a upgrade over CP3. I agree with the upgrade. I'm, you know, a huge, huge Russell Westbrook fan. I'm definitely looking forward to him and my man James Harden, the beard, stepping on the court, doing their thing. I mean, it's, you know, people question whether there's going to be enough balls to go around. I think their friendship and that aspect of their friendship, I think it's going to translate to on the court. And I'm really excited to see high scoring, you know, wire to wire, back to back, you know, no defense being played. But hey, this is what the fans want to see. We want to see those games in the 120s, 130s. And I think that they're going to produce a lot of those type games. him and James Harden, you know, putting it back together. They played together once before, with Thunder uniforms on. But, you know, their owner actually is, saying that they believe that, he's a better fit than CP3. So they're expecting a bit of a turnaround. What's your expectations for the Rockets on this upcoming season?
The Rockets, I think it'll be good. I think it's going to be it's going to be a lot of showmanship. I think these two players bring a lot of, it's a lot of intensity, attraction to the game. I think, I did see the owner on a few shows today just talking about his experience with the former teams. And I think he recognized that he's up against a lot, especially going into the league in the West. There's a lot of strong teams. I mean, the Lakers, the Clippers, Denver, the Jazz. I mean, there's a lot of teams that you can't underestimate. There's two strong guys. I think Russell Westbrook is more of a, like, he'll give you a basket under like 7 seconds. I think they call it the 7 second ball movement and dribble. And James Harden is more so like a player who just kind of plays the one-on-one isolation and is a scorer. So I think if they have Russell playing the one, James Harden more playing the two, I think they have a good year, good chemistry. They'll be all right, but I don't see them in the conference finals or anything, possibly a playoff run. But it's a lot that needs to work on, especially how stacked the West is.
Yeah, the West is definitely stacked. It's loaded. The best chance of success I feel like the Rockets have is going to be to play to their strengths, which is to get out in the open court and to run. That's basically how they're going to have to do this season. They're going to have to run a lot of teams off the court. They used to be one of the top transition teams. They actually slowed it down. CP3 is a half-court player, especially on this side, in this point of his career, on the other side of 30. So, his strength is definitely in the half-court, which is the complete opposite to where the NBA is shifting right now with the run-and-gun style. Western, conference includes Steph Curry, Damian Lillard. These guys want to get out and run. So, with Westbrook still in the Western Conference, I do expect them to be a top-four team. I do have them as a top four. The Rockets will be a top four team. The Warriors, the Rockets, the Clippers, and the Lakers are definitely the top four teams in the Western Conference, and I believe that they'll have home court. I think they're going to battle it out. They're going to put a lot of bumps and bruises on each other on the way. It's going to be a really entertaining season, but that's my projection for this season, man, and it's – out east, we're going to have to see how this Kevin Durant injury changes things out there. I believe that, they're working on a few things. The Detroit Pistons signed Joe Johnson fresh off the Big Three championship, man. This is a big move for that platform, now producing a NBA free agent that is now back on the court, and a lot of people have led this to the course to connect to my man Melo. Can he end up back on an NBA roster? Do you think that the Big Three is the stage for him to showcase his talent to let NBA teams and NBA GMs and owners know what he still has, man? A lot of people seem to feel some type of way about this topic. It won't go away. Is Melo being blackballed was a past topic, but at this point, the closer we get to the NBA season, where that chemistry needs to gel, can we get Melo on a roster?
I see no reason why. Definitely, it's tough to say if he's being blackballed or not. He's gonna have to take the year off. I don't think he's gonna be on the team this year. I do believe that he may take the year off and not play in the Big Three this upcoming season, possibly in the season after that. I believe, I don't know, man. It's tough to say. I don't know. Man. This may be actually be the last we've ever seen like Carmelo. I think his pride is in the way of everything. His pride has always been in the way of his game. So I think that's the only thing really holding Carmelo back at this point. But as far as talent goes, I think he should be in the league right now. But I guess they don't want him.
Yeah, I mean, a number of players have testified that they, you know, they've been working out with Melo this summer. I mean, he continues to post the clips on social media, and we see that the jump shot is wet. You know, he still looks in, you know, the best, you know, shape that he's ever been in. I mean, you know, he's never been that athletic rip athlete, but, you know, he looks, you know, like he's trim, like he can get up and down the court. You know, I believe it was Kyle Kuzma or one of the young players was quoted as saying that he's still better than 50% of the NBA players right now. So it definitely has to be more to where he stands, you know, from a physical point. I think that it has a lot to do with the last product that he put out, you know, on the court. It wasn't the best product, you know, as far as game performance. I think that's similar to what's going on with Colin Kaepernick, but that's a whole different, you know, topic and discussion. I think that has to, you know, but the we can't overlook with the last product that we last saw from our athletes, you know, so it's a what have we done for me now lately, you know, not just league, but world, you know, pretty much. So do I think that Hoodie Melo is going to take a whole season to reflect and then end up back in the league? I don't think so. I think if he doesn't end up on an NBA roster this season, after a whole year goes by, you know, another age going up, I don't see Carmelo making it back onto an NBA roster if he doesn't play. I mean, he might wind up in the big three as one of their star players, but then, you know, that goes back to, like how you said, his ego. Melo is a very high, you know, pride guy, and we know that, you know, he's going to look for the best situation. If it's not his situation, he will not accept it. We do know that about Melo. He is going to, you know, definitely, you know, stick to his guns and his beliefs and what he believes is, and I think he's a player that believes he knows his worth and his value. The thing is he a bit, you know, is his mind a bit clouded on what his actual value is at this point? You know, that's yet to be seen. But, you know, I'm all for Melo getting back on the court because I definitely believe that he's still a top-level athlete that should be, you know, considered on an NBA roster and not just when somebody gets, you know, injured. But, you know, somebody should put this man on the roster now. I saw some memes or some Photoshop pictures of him with a Warriors uniform on. And to be honest, if he doesn't end up in L.A. with LeBron, maybe a role with an established team like the Warriors could be a role for him coming off the bench, let him slide in there and play with the second unit so he could take advantage of some of those, you know, those second units on the other team. And maybe that's his way of, you know, at least ending his career on a decent level and not, you know, letting us down like some of our hometown teams are doing. Like the Philadelphia Phillies, man, you know, we gotta, you know, before we do rap, we definitely gotta, you know, bring up some disappointing aspects of what's going on about this point of the sports year. And our Philadelphia Phillies, man, they not looking too good. They're actually up on the Atlanta Braves right now, 5-4. But it's really not looking too good for them overall. You know, the expectations were high for them coming into this season with the addition of Bryce Harper. And at this point in year one with Bryce Harper and all the money that they dished out in the first year of his contract, has it translated? How do you feel the value that the price that they put on this man in connection with this team? I mean, you know, baseball is a hard sport for your stars to really have an effect similar to the other sports, man. But how do you feel about, you know, the situation with the Philadelphia Phillies off to this start with Bryce Harper?
I think it's just a slow start, man. I think they just have to figure some things out. It's his first year there. I think he feels like he has a lot of weight on his shoulders. I think that's the thing that's been going on a lot around the league. Just a lot of weight on these players' shoulders. And it's kind of a lot, like big shoes to fill, man. Philly... I'm telling you, man, Philly's a tough city to play for, man. Those fans, mm-hmm. If you don't perform, man, they tear you to shreds. So, I think you just got to give them time. I think maybe They'll be good in a couple years if they get some good pickups to get a little bit more healthy. I could see some positive projection in the Philadelphia Phillies future. But on a better note, I gotta say, man, my Yankees are pretty legit right now, man.
Okay.
I think we're definitely going in the playoffs. I think we're going against the Minnesota Twins is what we're expected.
Okay.
And play the winners out of the Houston Astros in the wild card. I know, I believe it's the Oakland A's that are battling for the wild card over in the American League.
American League West, yes, sir. The Athletics is 90-61, actually 8 games behind the Astros in the American League West. That, you know, the Yankees, they do look good. I mean, they have a...
Oakland A's and Tampa Bay Rays for the wild card.
Okay.
But Yankees...
Playoff time is approaching. The Yankees, what, 99-53, the best league, the best record in the American League? I mean...
Yeah, man, we're looking at, I think it's the best record in the league. Yeah, man, we're looking pretty healthy, man. I'm excited about our team. I think we have a positive chance at winning the World Series this year. And I'm excited, man. These guys deserve it, man. They've been grinding. There were a lot of injuries throughout the year that we had to battle. The bullpen wasn't always as good as we've expected these pitchers to go through, but they've been extremely durable, consistent, and just been holding their weight, man. So I'm excited. Mm-hmm. I think we actually just had a pitcher come back, who I'm excited about. So it's all good, man. I'm excited for the Yankees.
Yeah, there definitely is a lot of hype always surrounding the Yankees. You know, Aaron Judge. You know, I know he's definitely a big, heavy home run hitter that a lot of people look forward to watching. I mean, it's going to be interesting. Pitching is key. The health to the start pitching is key. You know, I think that's the most critical position in baseball is the pitcher position. You know, because they have the ball in their hand on every possession. But you know, they do have some you know, they still have CC, so they still have some veteran experience. Is that going to translate to the postseason? That's tough. I mean, the Dodgers are, you know, they look good. The Twins have a pretty good record, and you know, the Astros are a tough team. But you know, the playoffs, you know, with these 7-game series, we're definitely going to see who the best teams are. That's one thing I do, you know, favor about the Major League Baseball, is that their series are usually, you know, they get it right with the 7-game series. The best team usually does prevail. But the Phillies, 76-72, man, it doesn't look like they're going to be making any major power moves. So that, you know, I'm let down. I mean, I see the big picture and where they could be going with this addition with Bryce Harper and all the pressure that, you know, Philly brings. Our other Philadelphia teams are definitely, you know, living up to the billing. We just had a recent championship from the Philadelphia Eagles. We got high expectations from the 76ers. And, you know, this addition with Bryce Harper, I did have high expectations for it. So maybe I need to keep everything in perspective. You know, we always want the Phillies to win every year, man. But the Yankees, if the pitchers can stay healthy, you know, CeCe would be out there on one leg. You know, I mean, you know, we're going to have to see how they hold up. That's definitely going to be the key to this season, man, is how they hold up out there, man. But, you know, I know you're going to be following the Yankees like clockwork, man. I know that's your team, man. I know that's how you get down, man. But y'all make sure y'all follow the Sports Vault podcast like clockwork, man. B.
Yes, sir.
Just another one.
Yankees, let's go, baby.
Let's go, man. Sports Vault podcast. You know, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast. Make sure you catch us on whatever platform you need to catch us on. Instagram at SportsVault Podcast. Facebook at SportsVault Podcast. Gmail us for feedback, SportsVaultPodcast@gmail.com. B.
Catch us next week. We here.
Yeah.
Sports. Sports Vault Podcast.
Sports Vault Podcast. J Reed. I got my man B in the building, of course.
Let's go. Let's do it.
What's going on, man?
I'm feeling good, man. I'm feeling real good, Jay. Man, I think we got some real interesting topics.
Some real interesting topics, man. NFL season is in full swing. We got the superstars making headlines. And, I mean, this season is off to an amazing start, man. You know, of course, the stars are making all the heavy news right now. And the star that we got to start it off with, man, is my man, Jalen Ramsey, requesting a trade from the Jacksonville Jaguars. 2 games into the season, it's not looking good. They suffered a major injury to Nick Foles to start the season off. And now this news breaks after a heated situation with the coach on the sideline that now results in a reported trade. This man's a Pro Bowl cornerback. And, of course, they want big return for this man. I mean, you know, first rounders is going to be involved. This may change the landscape. How do you feel about this trade request 2 games into the season? What do you think this means for the landscape of the AFC?
It definitely changes the landscape for sure, especially for the next couple years. Jaguars, Jalen Ramsey, he says it himself, so all he wants to do is win. I could definitely see it. He's a very passionate player. I think every receivers in the NFL recognize how good he is. I believe who was it off the Houston Texans that actually just gave him a shout out and actually acknowledged his game. Who was
Hopkins,
that?
DeAndre Hopkins. Yeah.
So even Hopkins just dropping that and just recognizing that he recognized himself as the best receiver and he's one of the best players to follow him while he's playing the game. Just shows that he's definitely worth it. He wants to win. I don't know. I'm interested to see where he lands. I don't think he's wrong for fighting just to win. I think he wants to be a part of a winning organization. And we haven't seen much from Jacksonville in a while. So I don't blame him.
I mean, he's definitely a cornerback that comes with a lot of bravado. I mean, he's definitely got a unique style to him. I mean he's 6'1", 208 pounds. I mean, that's really long. That's decent size. He's able to, you know, play in man coverage. He can play zone coverage. He's really a talented player on the field. His off-the-field issues seem to, you know, really dominate the headlines with him. I mean, we're going to see where he ends up. All kinds of offers are now coming, you know, on the table for the Jaguars. We're going to see where he ends up. I know the Eagles could use some help in the defensive backfield. I know I heard some rumors that, you know, they could possibly be interested in him. An unnamed NFC team reportedly offered a 2020 first rounder and a 2021 fifth rounder for Ramsey, while another unnamed AFC squad proposed sending a 2020 first rounder and a player in exchange for the defensive back. So I'm really interested to see where he ends up. He's a two-time Pro Bowler, you know, so he's definitely going to, you know, change, you know, a situation wherever he goes, as long as he doesn't end up with the Patriots. I mean, you know, they're stacking up right now. They look loaded right now. I mean, if he ends up on the Patriots, man, I saw a report that, you know, they was in the mix and in the running, and I really wouldn't be surprised if he ended up on the Patriots. But that's really the last place that I want to see him right now, because I think they're stacked, and adding that man to the mix right now with everything that they got going on, I don't think that would be the best collaboration with, you know, the chemistry on that team. How do you think about Ramsey? Where do you think he should go?
Like you said, the Eagles could definitely use him in the secondary. I think he'll be a great asset to the Eagles, you know, being from being in that Philadelphia territory. I mean, we're always rooting for any good guys looking for a trade to come to Philly. So him, yeah, definitely. Again, like, I'm interested to see where he lands, man. You always getting surprised by these kind of deals. I know who was the Houston Texans himself? He kind of wanted to trade. What was the player's name again?
The he's talking about Jadeveon Clowney.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So just him, for example, he wanted like Eagles were thinking like a top contender, and I wanted him to come to to Philly, but he ended up in Seattle. I didn't see really much for his career why he would want to go to Seattle. I thought Eagles just kind of have like a winning organization right now with Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz and Brandon Graham and those Fletcher Cox. I mean, those guys are solid. I think there's a good core guys to work around. I think Jalen Ramsey will be a great asset to them teams. As you mentioned, if he could, like, possibilities of going to the Patriots. I know the Patriots are looking to build around Adrian Peterson. AB, Antonio Brown. For them to want to build around that and grab Jalen Ramsey, I think it's a little controversial. It's a lot of strong personalities going on. I think it's a lot to kind of contain in a short period of time. I think him going to the Eagles is the smoothest, the most successful. It's a win-win deal for him. I think he wants to be on a winning organization, and I think the Eagles have what it have to offer. I hope it's them that's that anonymous NFC team that's making an offer.
I definitely think he would be a huge asset to the Eagles. I think that they could possibly land him if he's looking to win. Philadelphia and New England are definitely the two best locations for him to land up in. I mean, it's tough. Neither one of those teams might not wind up landing this man. I mean, you know, either way, both of those teams are still going to be in a contention for the Super Bowl. Now, if he lands on the Patriots, however, I think they're going to end up in this Super Bowl running at least the AFC Championship. I think they're going to be right in the mix whether they have him or not. But that, you know, with him added on to what they got going on with Antonio Brown trying to manage all those personalities, if any team could do that, it would be the Patriots. But I do think, for selfish reasons, I would like to see him on the Eagles to shore up that defensive backfield. They took a hard loss to the Atlanta Falcons over this past weekend, and then where the game was lost, I think, was on the defensive side of the ball. Secondary gets exposed for yet another week. Julio Jones is a top-tier receiver, probably the best receiver in the league, but it's still, you know, we have to, you know, play better against, you know, those top physical receivers, and we need a corner that can match up size-wise and, you know, confidence-wise, and I think he could be a good addition. The grass isn't always green on the other side. So I think, you know, maybe, you know, not working things out in Jacksonville might not be the best thing. Nick Foles, you know, they had high hopes. I know the backup quarterback situation is, you know, pretty much going to, you know, cancel out any hopes of them having any playoff, you know, dreams this situation this season. But, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, sometimes it could be, you know, addition by subtraction that team, you know, I'm interested to see where the Jaguars go, you know, from here, you know, eliminating somebody, you know, with this big personality, you know, and we'll see where he ends up. But if he ends up on the Patriots, we do know who's on that team. Antonio Brown is on that team right now. And he, you know, was on the field for week two, despite the controversy that's around him right now. And everything that he's being accused of from his former trainer. You know, now the wideout was on the field. He did sign a one-year contract that's, you know, worth up to $15 million. And, you know, they put him on the field. You know, no allegations or no, you know, indictments or no specific, you know, situations have really been, you know, pinned to him at this point in time. So they did the right thing. They let him play, and now we're going to see the way the rest of this information that comes out. We're going to see what that change is going forward. I think the Patriots are going to let him play. They're going to continue to let him play. And that's pretty much what we said, that they was going to let him play, you know, until something was actually proven. So I think the Patriots are doing the right thing. But they look dominant out there, man. I mean, it's crazy that the performance that they're putting up week after week with or without Antonio Brown.
Yeah, man. They're comparing this current Patriots team to that 16-0 team that they had with Randy Moss back in I believe it was 2007. How good they're looking. I think the Patriots are actually, as an organization, they're handling the situation very maturely. I think they're going with the innocent until proven guilty. I'm afraid a lot of information is being grabbed and attained. A lot of information is being attained from the appropriate channel. What's this? You got some new for me here? What you got? So it's saying that Antonio Brown declined to sign $2 million settlement with his accuser.
I mean, you know, when you refuse to sign the settlement, that's, you know, he looks like he wants to fight this situation, which is, you know, he's standing pat to not, you know, giving in to any type of guilt for the situation or, you know. So we're going to have to see how this goes. You know, he turned down the settlement, you know, for the accuser to, you know, be in a situation where she was, you know, offered a settlement. You know, it speaks to the level of the situation. You know, anytime anything's able to be settled out of court, I know the lawyers are going to do what they need to do to get that job done. When really, you know, everybody deserves a fair trial for their name to be cleared. You know, either way, his name is going to be tarnished going forward. But it was definitely good to see him back on the field, you know, moving past this situation where, you know, I feel like the field is actually an escape from his reality. So to see him go out there with a smile on his face, doing what he does, you know, he's not settling, you know, anything off the field. He wants to, you know, make sure that his name is cleared and that his innocence is proclaimed. But, you know, at this point, we're going to have to see how this plays out. You know, he is a diva wide receiver. Another diva wide receiver showed up last night, man, and showed out. Still with the Richie Millie on his wrist, still doing his thing, still yes, shining sir. All hot and heavy.
Yes, sir.
Odell Beckham Jr., man, my dog, OBJ. Man. Yo, that game last night, man, was special, man. He's a special player, man, and he's definitely my favorite watch in the league, man. Just watching Odell going out there on that field and put on the type of performance that he put on last night. It was fun to watch. I mean, the game was a little dry, but you know, seeing a superstar player end up, you know, with his numbers, with that touchdown catch that he had last night, you know, it was amazing that his breakaway speed, his speed is special. One thing that happened that was a bit, you know, controversial that, you know, he even spoke upon was the whole visor thing. He thinks he's being targeted and picked on, and one of the things that he said was he wants to make sure that he's given the same leeway as other players, man. Do you think my man Odell's being targeted, or is he putting a target on his back?
You know, Odell's very he's a very player who's into fashion. He's very expressive. I think he does he expresses himself in his watch, in his attire, as far as his cleats. Even to his elbow band that he had going on. He's real expressive, and I think the NFL recognizes that Odell Beckham is legit top three wide receivers in the league. They recognize that his image has a real strong influence, and I think they just want to impose just a mature, like presentable, professional, like player. Because at the end of the day, Odell Beckham Jr. is an extension of the Cleveland Browns, who the Cleveland Browns are an extension of the NFL. They want to make sure that everything that comes out of the NFL is just positive reinforcement to the NFL and makes them better in the future. This right here is just, I feel like it's a level of discipline. I don't think he's being targeted, but I think they don't want someone who's at the top to just get comfortable with making decisions that are against the rules, because ultimately it's just going to trickle down to the new generation. And they just want to make sure everything's well put, man. But shout out to Odell. He had a great game. 6 receptions, 161 yards, 1 touchdown. Crazy catch on the sideline in the first quarter, one-handed, man. He just, the talent, there's no question of the talent's there. The guy's got it. It's just a matter of professionalism and what he does.
Definitely, man. He has a heavy influence on the league. And I, you know, it's understandable. I mean, he has a lot of flair and a lot of pizzazz, you know, on and off the field. He's definitely a entertaining character, entertaining athlete. This watch, they say, was a little bit more icier than the last one. Had a little bit more drip to it. This one was priced at $2.2 million, man. I mean, he only wore it during the warm-ups ahead of the game. So he is, you know, in compliance. So he is following the rules. You know, I do agree with the part of him not being targeted if, you know, he's not being able to wear the same things that if he's actually, you know, everybody's held to the same standard. But, you know, there was an interview where he said that, you know, other players were, you know, getting away with wearing this specific shield, this you know, tinted visor that he had, you know, last night, in which he was taken off the field in a crucial third down situation. Could the referees have handled it a little bit differently? You know, let him know, you know, once, you know, the play, you know, was they had the drive it finished itself when he goes off the field, to, you know, go over to the sideline and say, hey, you know, next time out, you can't come back onto the field with that visor, just to let you know we're not going to let you back on the field with that visor on. That way you don't, you know, change the, you know, the situation of the game, even though that game was, you know, pretty much decided by injuries with the Jets quarterback being on the sideline with Mono, which is crazy. But, you know, he was actually sidelined with Mono, Sam Darnold. So, you know, but, you know, the game was pretty much out of hand, you know, at that point. But still, I think that it was a different way he could have, you know, it could have been handled. It did have a target approach on it. I know the referees have been made aware to watch, you know, different angles with Odell. I mean, he does come with a, you know, with a high, you know, with, you know, binoculars on him on a daily basis. So, you know, when he steps on the field, that, you know, he is going to be scrutinized. I didn't see anybody else with anything shaded on their helmets in this particular game. So it's hard to really, you know, buy into whether he's being targeted based off of what we saw yesterday.
What you think about the performance of the Browns, like, as a whole? Like, what about Baker? What you think about Baker?
Baker Mayfield is definitely a gunslinger, man. He's a gunslinger. He's like a mini Brett Favre out there, man. He's, you know, he's throwing the ball in the tight windows and tight spaces. I don't know about that going forward, man. I mean, I think he has to be smart with the football. Him being an undersized quarterback, you know, and you know, he's going to have a difficult time seeing over the line. So his decision making and being able to see in pockets and windows is going to his accuracy is going to have to be, you know, above what he's showed out these first couple weeks. But I think it depends on Mayfield. I mean, Myles Garrett is a freak athlete on the defensive side. He's been flagged for a whole lot of personal fouls, which is crazy, you know, because he is so athletic and he is so quick, but he's, you know, he's jumping off sides a lot. So I think that their season is going to be, you know, determined by their star players, man. You know, but this season is got a lot going on. A lot of NFL teams are undefeated right now.
What'd you think about week two? Like, just the whole overall of, like, these performances. I know there were, like, a pretty good games. Like, Kansas City had a good game. What'd you think about week two?
Week two showed me already who's who. I think the Kansas City Chiefs are definitely a serious contender, man. And, you know, and if it is such a thing as an early season MVP vote, you know, it'd be hard not to go with last year's winner, Patrick Mahomes. I mean, he's definitely shown that last season wasn't just a fluke. I think a lot has to deal with Andy Reid. I think Andy Reid has to be given a lot of credit for, you know, what they're doing out there. They don't talk about Andy Reid as much. He had lost the Eagles locker room. That's why it was time to move on. And, you know, sometimes a different voice in a different situation could, you know, give you different results. The Kansas City Chiefs have responded to him. He's definitely a quarterback guru. He definitely gets the best out of QBs. And what he's doing with Patrick Mahomes right now is really entertaining. What's going on in Baltimore with Lamar Jackson is really entertaining. He's really silenced the haters, all the people who said he was just a running back playing quarterback. I think he's, you know, put on, you know, some of the best performances in their franchise history coming out the gate this season, man. It's, you know, it looks good. These young quarterbacks look good, and this they look scary out there, man. They got their dual threats, but this season, this week two is very entertaining, man. They're off to a good start, man. I know it's a couple games that stood out to you this weekend, man. A couple notable performances, man. So, who would you give the notable performance of the weekend to if you had to pinpoint one player?
I got to give it to Lamar Jackson, man. The kid is consistent. Man, just his level of gameplay is just a different pedigree. It's definitely a breath of fresh air in the city of Baltimore. I know they just won not too long ago, less than a decade ago, which we don't want to take away from them. I think Joe Flacco put a really good time in Baltimore. But this level of gameplay, this level of excitement, you just haven't seen in Baltimore since, like, Ray Lewis and those hits. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, when Ray Lewis would hit somebody, it was just so exciting. I think maybe it not be a hit, but the level of gameplay just has that same impact, and it excites the crowd, and it's showing. I think the fans are manifesting in that excitement. They're standing behind Lamar Jackson. He's excited. He's young. He's humble. He accepts the responsibility of his position, and I got to give it to Lamar Jackson. My hat's off to him, man.
Okay, so this is interesting. So my notable performance, I'm gonna go with Patrick Mahomes, because you know that sets up for this week three matchup with the Ravens and the Chiefs, man. And we're going to see whose performance actually stands out going forward out of these notable performances, man. But Patrick Mahomes putting up video game type numbers, man. I mean, it's crazy, you know, to go out here and start the season off with these sort of statistics. I mean, 378 yards week one with three touchdowns. With three touchdowns. And the follow up last week with 443 yards passing with four touchdowns. I mean, it's almost ridiculous. I mean, he's almost got 1,000 yards passing. And, you know, we're only on the third week of the season. Patrick Mahomes is definitely the notable performance. I don't think this is the last time we're going to see him with a notable performance. You know, this matchup this week is going to be interesting, man, because, you know, with them playing at this high level, somebody's going to have to take the L's. We got two undefeated teams at 2-0, so it's definitely going to be a crazy clash this weekend. We're hoping that the Eagles can get back on track this week. You know, they got an upcoming game against the Lions. Definitely got a lot of interesting games going on across the board. The Cowboys got a layup game this week with the playing the Dolphins, who I believe are the worst team in the NFL. I question whether they can beat some of these college teams right now. But, you know, so that's pretty much going to be a layup. But hopefully they surprise me, you know, hopefully the Cowboys come in there and sleep on them. And they're able to pull that off, man, because, you know, we definitely need them to fall off they high horse right now. We're going to see whether Cam Newton can bounce back from a lot of scrutiny that he's under playing injured. He's not looking too good. But, yeah, the NFL season is definitely on fire. And you know it's on fire at the Sports Vote Podcast.